Hello and welcome to the Her Story Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Miller. Today my guest is Jamie Inyart. Jamie's an amazing woman who I just had the privilege to meet for this interview. In our conversation, Jamie shares how the Lord started opening her heart to foster care and adoption at a young age. As the Lord continued to write her family's story, Jamie and her husband decided they would open their hearts and home to adopt one child after having two of their own biological children. But never did they imagine God's plan was for their family to grow from 4 to 8 in just a few years. Listen to Jamie's story and be encouraged by not only her faithfulness, but also her honesty with the challenges of being obedient and following God's calling for her family. Jamie, thank you for coming on today and sharing your story with your journey through foster care, orphans and adoption, just all of that. I'm excited just to hear how you got to where you are today. So would you just introduce yourself? Tell us just a little bit about you.
I will. I'm Jamie Inyart. I am married 17 years and we have 6 kids, 2 biological daughters, who are 16 and 11, and then 4 adopted kiddos adopted through DHS foster care, currently ages 16, 14, 12, and 8. So our house is busy and full and crazy and all those things.
So that was always your plan, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yes.
Teenager, that many teenagers.
A lot of teenagers all at once, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. So that's what I want to talk about today. How did you get there?
Okay.
So let's go back, like you shared with me a little bit ago, just about your childhood when maybe that seed was planted in your first awareness of foster care and the system.
Definitely. Growing up, a super close friend was a foster child. She and her 3 siblings were in a home. And I remember thinking, like, it's just crazy. She doesn't have any say over where she's at. And then little by little, a brother was moved out of the home. Another brother was moved out of the home. And then her sister was moved out of the home. Mm-hmm. And I just remember as a kid thinking, I can't imagine. Right. And so then in through high school, she was moved into a new home that they were fantastic. She ended up living with them through college and I got to witness that and just thought like how amazing it was that that placement kind of changed the trajectory of her life. They are her family even today. Wow. And so that was the moment I think that God kind of planted that in me of... Mm-hmm. Even as a young age of, wow, I don't understand all of this, but I can't even imagine.
Right.
So then as we were married and we had our kiddos and we were kind of in that place of, should we have another baby or what do we do?
So you got married. Obviously, yes. You got married. So how long have you been married?
17 years.
Okay. 17 so now. You have a 16-year-old. So you're in a marriage. You have your biological kiddo. And are you thinking at that point about fostering or adoption?
Not really. Okay. Our girls are spaced 5 years apart.
Okay.
And so we had our second child and she was approaching 3. Okay. And so we were kind of at that age. We had an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old. Uh-huh. And we're thinking, okay, do we have another baby? And I brought up, maybe we could do foster care or adoption.
Okay.
And my husband was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure foster parents are weird. So we should probably not do that. He had no context. He had never known a foster child.
Why do you think you brought that up? Did you have friends or hear about it at church or just where was your awareness?
I think it was just planted in my head.
From long ago, kind of came back up.
Yeah. We had friends who had adopted, but hadn't done foster care.
Okay.
So we always joked that we were foster care when foster care wasn't, it wasn't really super known.
Right.
And so really we felt like we were entering this really uncharted territory.
Sure.
But he was a solid no at first. And so we both kind of landed on, let's pray about it and God will change one of our hearts. Mm-hmm. I'll either decide, you know what, I really want to have another baby, or he'll decide maybe adoption or foster care would be a good move. And within probably a couple of weeks, he came back and said, I think I am okay with adoption. I'm not sure about foster care yet.
Okay, so God worked in him pretty quickly.
Okay. But just still didn't know, again, on the foster care side. So we started the paperwork, and that process looks the same.
Okay.
When you start down that
road. So it was state adoption you guys were going with, not like an international.
Right. Okay. We decided DHS. Yeah. Again, I think that's just where my heart had kind of been pulled as a child. So that was the direction we went. Started the classes, the background checks, all of the things. And those are the same things, whether you go into foster care or adoption.
Okay.
So at the end of it, I remember us going to sign our final paperwork and them saying, we had met and had a meeting earlier where the DHS worker had told us it could take 18 months to be placed.
Okay, this longer is because it's adoption. Okay, because we did foster care and it's like right off.
Yes, but to be matched with an adoptive child, that this could be a process.
Okay.
So we're signing the papers and I said, you know, do you know how long this could be? And she said, oh, I mean, probably by the end of the week. And I said, what? He said that it would be, you know, 18 months. Yeah. She said, no, we have a ton of foster kids. And I said, no, we were adoption.
Uh-huh.
And she said, oh, we processed your paperwork for foster care.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And so there was that moment of me just being like, okay. And so I said, like, let's go home and talk about this.
Is this a God thing or is this a mistake?
Right. So Shane and I go home and we're like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. They said it could be a year and a half before we're placed. We're ready to foster. Should we just do it? Even though that wasn't the plan, and help out a little in the beginning. So we land on, let's just see. So I called back and I said, if we were going to foster, like, who do you have that you could place us with?
Uh-huh.
And she said, we have a little boy who's 15 months old. He just came into custody for a neglect case. And it's looking like a pretty, like it would, he's at the beginning of this. So he would be in your home probably a good amount of time.
Okay.
And so I called Shane and I said, it's a baby and he needs us. And so I called back and I said, we'll do it. Okay. And we went to the DHS office the next day and picked him up and brought him home. And he was teensy tiny.
Oh.
At 15 months, he was the size of about a 3-month-old.
Neglected.
Yes, yeah. And so then it just began like this kind of by accident foster care journey.
Yes. And what did your girls think about that?
Well, they were in love because again, he's a baby, you know, and so they're hugging him and holding him and running through the house ecstatic. But he was ill and needed just a lot of, I mean, he just needed a lot of care. So began a lot of doctor's visits and appointments and court visits and meetings with bio dad. We were able to meet mom once, and then that was it. But, you know, we just kind of started that world.
Yeah. Was that hard for you?
Very hard.
I would say the hardest thing. Because you're painting it like, oh, the girls love it. Because I'm like, we fostered. Yeah. And that first child was very hard.
She was easy.
But just everything.
Yes. Emotionally, it was hard.
Right. And that I felt like, I don't know if you felt this, but just your girls, your two bio girls, I have two bio girls also. They were used to all my time and attention. And then you get this new child. And I mean, a new child requires a lot of attention anyway, but then it's all the extra stuff.
Yes.
And that's what I felt like. I'm giving everything to this child and all the extras and not my own. So how did you wrestle with that or handle that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think just, it probably just was that for a little bit because he had a lot of visits and therapy appointments. He was very behind, and he's little, so he's taking a ton of time just because he's a baby on top of that. Luckily, our girls were a little bit, well, three isn't, but eight.
Yeah.
So she was really super involved. And in fact, they bonded very, very quickly, which was nice. But yeah, I would say it was difficult just because we bonded so quickly with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you always have that. The plan was to reunify, and just processing all of that was by far the hardest thing that I've done.
Yeah.
But we were only a short amount of time in, 3 months in, when I get a phone call that says, you have been matched to adopt a little boy in the Tulsa area.
You're kidding me. So your paperwork, even though it was misplaced in foster care, it went ahead and got to the right place.
Yes.
Adoption. So
yeah.
You got the little boy for fostering it. They already are proceeding with the other. Okay, goodness.
So because the process is the same, it just had to be handed over to adoptions to be processed there. And on our very first time out to be matched with a child, and on this child's first time out to be matched, we were matched together. So they then call the first
Yeah.
You know, because it's matched the first yeah. choice, second, third.
Yeah.
So we're first choice on the list. They call us and say, you've been matched with this 5-year-old little boy in the Tulsa area. And that's really all we know. They send a picture of this little redheaded, big smile boy.
And you still have the little 15-month-old.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And so...
What do you do?
You know, I called Shane and I said, okay, so what do we do? We said at one point we would be okay with two. A sibling set was okay. So this would put one child in the middle of our girls.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And then the baby at the end. And so we thought, okay, we were okay with two then. How is this different? Let's move forward. So we move forward and we're waiting to learn more. We're waiting to learn more. I emailed back and I said, we're really excited. Do you have any more information? And she said, well, his paperwork's just taking some time. Mm-hmm. He has an extensive medical background. He was diagnosed with leukemia last year.
Oh, goodness.
And my heart sank. And I just thought,
oh,
well,
my.
That is some pretty big information.
A little bit. Could be a game changer.
Yes, that was
for
big.
Our processing. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so okay. Then began the questions we didn't know because we were new in this.
Gosh.
Like, can we afford this? What do we do healthcare-wise?
Yeah.
What do we do? We then found out he gets to keep his insurance.
Care, yeah.
Exactly. And so there were some things there. Because
you're
but
prepared
again,
to adopt him. I mean, you're taking
right.
him with the thought, like, okay, we're going to adopt
yes,
him.
Yes, yeah. The point of that was... to move him in with the plan to adopt.
Goodness. Okay.
So some prayer about that.
A lot of prayer, I'm sure.
Right.
Yes.
Because you fill out all this paperwork at the beginning of what will we take, what will we not. This is a funny little God story. So we're filling the paperwork out in the beginning. Will we take massive delays? I said, oh, we both work. We will take a small delay, like mm-hmm. needs help in reading.
Mm-hmm.
But I
mm-hmm.
think a severe permanent delay may be too hard for us. We both work. Nothing that could be terminal. Nothing that could be these things.
Yes.
You know, this was the box. Our youngest son, the baby, is developmentally delayed, as special needs.
The little 15-month-old.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Who is 8 now, but...
Okay. So you still have him. Okay, you're skipping ahead.
I know.
But you would put that you do not want that, and
right.
then ironically, God has a plan.
And so God has a plan.
The first baby you get is...
yes.
He knows that
yes.
that's what...
And so he's our super special, you know,
ooh.
He...
So my goodness, see, I don't know your story. So so the little baby, you have adopted him, or you're...
Right,
I mean,
so at that time...
If we fast forward, but come back to the 5-year-old has...
Yes, so
leukemia.
The 5-year-old, we find out, and we say, you know, I kind of go back to Shane and like this was not the plan, like
oh my gosh, your husband.
What do we do? What if he doesn't
yeah.
make it? What
yeah,
if this, you know, do we bring him in? And then Shane and I are talking and then I'm just like, he has no mama holding him through these treatments. He has no family while
right.
he battles cancer. And so then I think we both were just like, we have to.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like when you know.
Yeah.
What it's hard to know because then as a Christian
yeah.
believer, what are you supposed to do? Turn your back?
And it
yes.
just felt, but it felt like we both just knew.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we moved forward and wow. they moved him in. And so his adoption was our first adoption.
Okay.
Finalized 6-month, you know, waiting period finalized. We quickly jumped into the world of cancer treatment, pills every day, chemo
oh,
and the
goodness.
Port monthly, back sticks and, you
oh,
know,
my goodness.
All the
that
stays.
That would be hard with a biological. I mean, obviously it's hard with any child, but it's like you have
right.
that new, like, adoptive child with
yes.
that has a history of trauma and everything. And that's hard in itself.
Yes.
But then... So you have two new boys with a history of trauma, and now one is going through cancer treatment.
Yes.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I think those years are a blur.
I'm sure.
We made it, so clearly we did
and you
something,
like, look,
right?
So here's what I think when I'm talking to you. You're, like, so cute and put together, and she has, like, these several children, and I don't know, and they're foster and adopted. Like, I don't know how you stood together. I mean, tell me about your faith during that time. I mean, you had to have leaned on the Lord a lot.
Oh, my stars. Yes, I say, like, that phase was my face down on the floor
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And for real. There would be times where I would just be face down on the bedroom floor, go in my room, close the door, and just cry and cry out to the Lord and just for strength to keep going. The foster care side was rough. And just to keep going, and we loved him so much, and we were fighting hard for what we believed was best to keep him safe. And then this little guy, our 5-year-old, was pretty mad at the world. He had lived in foster care his whole life, and so he was ticked. He did not want us to adopt him. He had medical trauma on top of an attachment disorder, and just was really not happy to be here.
Which, so you're pouring everything out, and he doesn't even want to be there. No. He's not wanting to attach. I mean, just one of these little things would be enough to send somebody to the edge. So, so that's what I'm just really trying to get my mind around, like how you even did it. I'm sure were there times where you were like, I want to be done with this. Like, this is too much with me.
Yes.
Because you've also got your two bio girls that you've got to like be present and therefore and be raising as well.
Right.
So you were face down a lot. And I think that probably has to help other foster and adoptive moms a lot, because did you feel like you were alone in that? Did you have a good support system? Like, how did you...
By that time, we had a good support system. I work at a church, and there were several families going through adoptions at the time.
Okay.
And so I had a good background. I had some people standing behind me who really knew what was going on, and they were praying for me and with me. And so that was definitely helpful. But at the end of the day, sometimes hard is just hard. Yeah. And so as I counsel like new families who are starting this process, I always say, it's going to be harder than you expect. Not to scare you off. It will be worth it, but it will be harder than what you're imagining.
Yeah. I think that's so good to tell parents, because we do, we have, well, adoption, we have this pretty picture of like, oh, that's just wonderful and welcome. And that's not the truth. I mean, all of these kids come from hard places. I mean, it's, their story started a sad story because they lost their parents in a broken family. So it's not going to be easy. But then the fostering, like, I'm really not even sure anybody can fully prepare you. And I don't think we ever heard how hard it was. But even if we had, until you're walking in it, you're just like, oh, I had no idea.
It's just like having a baby. People can tell you, they tell you all these things. But until you have your baby... I don't know what you think. You think, I won't be like that. It won't be that. And then you think, it's, you know, it's more, and you just have to kind of learn it on your own.
You do. And the fostering adopting is 10 times. I mean, I can't speak for adopting, but I know, at least for me, the fostering was 100 times harder because, I hate to say it, I mean, we're human, and it's not your real child when you're fostering. And it's like, I had guilt for my own children, or it's like, you can... quote, throw in the towel a little easier when you're foster. I mean, that thought comes into your mind, and it's like just that stamina to get through it with the Lord.
Yes. Is, well, I'm glad you said that. There was a point, and I say this again when I talk to families about foster care and adoption, where we had promised to love this child and care for him and fight for him and be his family. There was a time where he did not want that from us. And so, like you said, that love was not given back. So there was a time where we didn't really like him a lot. He was very hard, but
was this both of them or the older boy?
The
5-year-old. Yeah, okay.
But we were his protector. And so we got up every day standing and believing that we were going to protect him, fight for him, be his family regardless. And so there was a long time where that was the truth for us, where there wasn't, it wasn't pretty and rosy and fun at all. Praise God that is here now. There are still challenges, and he still battles some attachment stuff and some moods, but he is a part of our family. And he's funny and he's witty and he's so smart. And we actually have an attachment now and a bond.
But it was work.
I mean, oh, my stars.
Lots of therapy, lots of pouring your heart out.
Yes.
Yes. So it is.
And a lot of powering through years of commitment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We made this commitment
Because if they sense you wavering, you're not going to be there. I mean, that's when it just all falls apart anyway. Like, that's why they have this attachment issue, because they think you're not going to stay anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, too, it is spiritual warfare. I mean,
definitely.
Satan wants to ruin those families, not have you all stay together, and it is a constant. I think you have to realize that, too. It is not this child that is out to get me.
Right.
It is this other realm that is just not wanting this family to work.
It is, you feel like, I always say, you're going to feel like you're crazy. And if that doesn't make sense to you today, just wait. It will. You will hit this moment where you think, am I crazy?
Yeah.
No. It happens. It's just a thing.
Yeah. So let's go back then. The 5-year-old, he was hard, having attachment issues and medical trauma, but you're proceeding with the adoption. Yep. And so 6 months after you take him, the adoption's final.
Adoption's final. Wow. Okay. Yeah. It's fast in an adoption placement. And
because they know it's parental rights have been terminated.
Right.
He's ready. Okay.
And the goal is permanency.
Okay.
So that was our deal. And in the beginning, we had prayed that God would send us the child or children that were right for us, not necessarily just who we would choose, but who needed us. And we just had so many confirmations of that along the way, even though it was very, very, very hard.
Okay.
There were so many confirmations that this was the plan.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Hard doesn't mean it's not God's will.
And there were points where I questioned that, where I thought, God, I feel like I heard you loud and clear. Mm-hmm. I felt like we followed with every step you asked us to take. And it was so clear. And now I feel like things are imploding and it's hard. Mm-hmm. And so that was a piece to wrestle with.
Yeah,
that God did call us there, and we believe that 100%. And even to this child, but it was hard and messy.
I'm sure. And your husband and you, I'm sure, had to stay on the same page.
Oh, my stars, yeah.
Because that would be a whole other realm of being really hard if you and your spouse are not
definitely
on the same page. So then how are things going at this time with the 15-month-old? Because are you thinking now that he might be a child you adopt, or is it looking like he's going to go back to bio family?
For a year. So our middle son is adopted. Oldest son at that time is adopted. And for a year, the plan was to go back home. Our heart really, dad had been in the system as well and had no one and was very skeptical of everyone. And so our hearts were just that God would change his heart, that he would realize that we weren't trying to take anything from him, but that we really did care for him too. Mm-hmm. And just change his heart in that. And then one day we got a phone call after a year that said, hey, Dad is ready to relinquish as long as you'll agree to adopt the son. And we, of course, were like, yes, right now.
Oh,
we will do that today.
Were you expecting that phone call?
No.
Or it was just like, that was the prayer that
that was
would
the
get
prayer.
There, but it
no.
came.
In fact, it seemed ridiculous.
Yeah, because so often that can be a court battle. I mean, that is a process to get parents to relinquish. So
yeah, we wanted him to know, you know, that we loved his child, but we cared about him as well. But no, it seemed far-fetched, even as we began praying it. So no, to get that phone call was a shock, but a relief. And so we kept contact with the birth dad.
Okay.
As long as possible. He's kind of drifted away now, but still has access to us if he needs us.
Okay.
But so that moved forward after 2 years of our youngest being in our home. We finally got to adopt him.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
And then we were done. We thought we're
done. Of course. That's four children.
And it's been a couple of years of DHS. We're ready to tap out, take a break.
Yes. And do you know that the youngest has some developmental delays at that point?
Definitely.
Okay.
He had been diagnosed with several things.
Okay.
That's still a learning process to see exactly where we're going to be. Mm-hmm. But no, we knew at that point that he would probably be with us. He's probably going to stay with us forever, you know, just live with us. And but we loved him.
You,
that was an at first sight bond between all of us and him. We're tapping out at that point.
Because you've got two like very high needs new children in your family. So that's you're plates full.
We were full. We were done. We were done for a little bit. And then,
I want to hear how this happens, because this is where my mind can't go
yet. This is the part that we always joke is that we're our surprise children.
Okay.
we had a friend at church who was moving, and they had a little girl that they weren't going to be able to take with them out of state, and we were going to move her into our home.
It's a foster child. Yeah.
Yes. And at the last minute, so we kind of re-upped our home and got everything ready. At the last minute, a family member stepped forward and she went to live with them.
Okay.
And at that time, there were news stories everywhere that the shelter was overcrowded.
Yeah.
Kiddos were sharing rooms. It was just, it was
so bad. How many years ago was this?
Whatever. This would have been 5 years ago.
Okay.
This April.
Okay.
So our workers said,
that's about when we moved here and started hearing all the, why we fostered when we came. Cause we were just like, oh my gosh, the state is a mess. And there's all these children. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It was the most crowded. Yeah. I think that shelter had ever been.
Yes.
And so our worker said, since your home is open, hang on to some kiddos for a little bit while we work on getting the shelter, you know, the numbers down. So we were like, okay, well, sure.
They had your number.
Yeah, I know, sure. Right? That's what my husband's like, they have us figured out.
Yes.
So I said, but here's the deal. I can't do a baby right now because I am tired.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a little bit older. We need them to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
You know, this just needs to be a little bit easier. So obviously we're bringing some kiddos into a home with already four kids. This needs to be a safe situation. Mm-hmm. These are our guidelines if we're moving forward with this. So we went to the shelter and to meet, they had a couple of kids we were going to meet. The very first kiddos they brought in to meet us, had their bags packed and ready to go.
I don't even know the term. I mean, it's heartbreaking, but it's beyond that.
Because
we've been there too to meet children. And
yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't even seem like it is real.
No.
That it can be
a
reality.
We're in this room and it was just such a fast. Mm. So this thing was very fast from, could you keep a couple of kids for a little bit, to here we are meeting them.
And they have their bags packed.
They have their bags packed. They're 11 and 9, an 11-year-old girl, a 9-year-old boy.
Are they siblings?
They're siblings. Okay. Brother has a little bit of a delay, a developmental delay, and sweet kids, sweet as they could be. And so we were like, okay, here we go.
You can't say no to this.
We loaded them up. We hit Target on our drive home, got them some clothes. They had literally the clothing on their backs.
Because they've been living in the shelter.
No jammies to sleep in that night. Nothing to wear to school the next day. I had to go and get them signed up. So we swing through Target on the way home. We buy 3 outfits, a couple jammies, some underwear, you know what I mean? Like the essentials. And we make it work. And here they are.
Husband's on board too. Or is he like,
I think we're equally crazy.
Yeah.
We probably both bounce between what are we doing and here we go. Luckily, he's very laid back. I am a rule follower, structure. What's the plan for the day?
Are structured?
Oh, in my mind,
I'm thinking like, oh, she's got to be so laid back because I'm very regimented, structured, and that's why this is hard for me.
Yeah.
Because children are not.
Yeah. No, there were some panic attack moments.
That's what I need to hear, honesty that this is.
No, we got home that first night and we get him tucked into bed and there's this moment of adrenaline where you're like, let's go. We've got it. You get him laid down and everyone's asleep in bed. And I laid down and I was like, this panic of like, what did we just do?
Uh-huh.
What did we do? So God's also funny this way. We had not told our family yet.
Oh, you hadn't?
No, we had not told them yet.
Okay.
They were pretty okay with us being done at that point. Uh-huh. I think they thought we were crazy.
Sure.
So no, we hadn't told them. And then my husband ended up with a job change that same week that we were like, well, that's a surprise.
Pile it on, Lord.
Okay. Well, luckily the job change made it so our families were very accepting.
Okay.
They felt like they had to be very supportive of everything that was happening.
Okay.
And so that actually ended up being probably the best thing that could have happened right then.
Okay.
But those kiddos jumped into our family so well. They bonded with our other kids. We thought for sure our oldest biological daughter is 8 months younger than our oldest daughter. And
so the siblings that you just had come in, the daughter, the girl was older than your...
Only 8 months.
Okay.
Yes. So they're really the same age most of the time, like right now.
That can be hard.
Oh, I thought for sure it would be a nightmare.
Yeah. That can be very hard because that's what we kind of experienced.
Yes.
So yes. Okay.
And I even told our oldest, do you
artificial
think,
twinning, I think, or
right.
something is the term.
Yeah,
yes.
like you okay. think you want this until uh-huh. they're in your room yeah. all the time, yeah. until it's your sharing stuff. But I'm telling you, they do.
Good.
It really
oh,
is.
Wow.
They get along. They're so funny. They giggle about, you know, they'll be like, did you hear this? Did you hear that? You know,
that's awesome.
And so they get along really well. And they really just have. We've been very, very lucky. Mm. Those two, 9 and 11, bonded with us very quickly. They had lived with their biological family forever.
Okay.
And so there was no trauma, no bouncing.
So this is like their first time
yeah.
in the system. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they just really meshed well. And
meshed well.
Compared to the first go-round,
right.
this was, quote, easy. But
so
hard.
Easy.
But
so,
still hard. But
yes.
still compared.
Still hard. I mean, we're still raising six kids
yes.
at this point.
And you're
we
still
both
having
work full-time.
To go to DHS and
right.
therapy and all the things that are involved.
All the things. That was very tiring. It is just, that was just a
That's
lot.
That's what it, you feel like there's so many appointments.
So
I'm
much.
I'm feeling like that, like... You've got to be kidding me.
Like, right now, I feel like I have so much free time on my hands.
Sure.
Because I'm not,
I'm
you
sure.
know what I mean? But that one was just going to be quick. And then our daughter got me alone and said...
This is your oldest daughter.
Our oldest
yeah.
daughter. Would you keep me? Would you keep us? We don't want to go home. Would you just adopt us? Went to my husband, same thing. The social worker, the counselor, the judge. She told everyone. And so... birth mom and I were at court and she said, I hear that they want to live with you. And I said, yeah.
And she'd had her
11 years.
And
yeah.
it wasn't like,
yeah.
announced. That's
and, she said, well, I mean, will you guys adopt them? I am texting my husband like,
oh my goodness. I just got goosebumps. Cause that doesn't always happen. No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I'm saying, I think I said, Shane, she is asking us to adopt her kids. And
wow.
Shane's like, because he always came with me to court. Uh-huh. This is the one day he didn't come
sure,
with me.
Sure, nothing will happen. Just go and show
They're
up.
Usually, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We're in, we're out, we
yeah.
move on. Yeah, and so she ended up relinquishing her rights that day.
You are kidding.
And the judge says, will you adopt?
Goodness.
We will. You know what I mean? We make
and
this
it probably
choice.
It seems surreal, didn't it? Like
so
this
surreal.
Is, like this is happening.
That wasn't
yeah.
And at that point, they had been living with us for a couple of months, so we were in a good routine.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
and you would think at that point, you're not scared. You know what I mean? You've
yeah.
you've been doing this. This
yes.
isn't strange.
Yeah.
But adoption is permanent, and that's a huge change.
And you thought you went into this one thinking this is going to be a
right.
really short-term visit.
And so that was another one that we. I laid in bed that night and again, just, you have that panic of like, that's cars for six kids. That's weddings for six and proms and graduations and family vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this like panic of like,
yeah,
what did we do?
I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine actually, but I can kind of imagine
yeah.
what you're feeling.
Just panicking a little
yeah.
bit. And then obviously, you know, then you get calm again and you're like, we're good. Just don't get ahead. That's my, I always have to pull myself back.
Uh-huh.
Do not get ahead
uh-huh.
of today. Just stay in today.
Uh-huh.
And so...
So you proceeded.
And so we proceeded.
And
we adopted them. And they were just a big surprise.
So then how many years ago was this?
That will be... I mean, they came to us 5 years ago in April.
Okay.
This coming April
okay, that's
will be
what,
five.
Right, because that went very quickly. So
isn't that crazy?
Yes.
And so we grew from a family of four to a family of eight over a time span of 3 years.
That is crazy, Jamie.
Oh, my stars. It was so crazy.
And you never envisioned that when you were
oh.
started this and asking your husband, pray about maybe adopting one.
Right.
I mean,
no.
I'm sure you could not have paid you to
no.
think, like, this is what we would end up at. So what has been the most challenging thing then in all of this process?
I would say...
Because, again, you seem really happy and put together. So I'm like, it can't be that hard.
Right, right, right. So I would say the most challenging would be the one child with the attachment was probably our biggest challenge
mm-hmm.
overall. That being said, I think had we not had him, I wouldn't understand when people have kind of a difficult adoption or
okay.
whatever, because our other three are really easy and that one's a little
okay.
bit tricky or okay. just is... it just takes more, a little bit more work,
yeah.
but we've seen with that so much growth.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? Without
yeah.
that,
yeah.
we wouldn't have been able to see just like this transformation, though slow at times, when we look back at where we started
right.
to how far we've come.
Right. And to see the work God's done. I mean, I'm sure you just glorify God so much to see the work in Him.
Yeah. So all that to say, I mean, it is definitely like this very long race, but challenging still. Mm-hmm. I kind of equate it to like going on mission field. So when I talk to people about starting foster care, specifically foster care, probably adoption as well, but I would say foster care the most of... You're going on a mission field. You're taking your kiddos and your family and your house, and everything that is the way it is right now is going to be different. It's not bad, but it will be different, and it will be hard, and it will be, I'm sure, moving to a third world country. You know what I mean? People come back and they're changed forever because of it. They're so glad they did it. But it doesn't mean that it's easy.
Yeah, that's a really good perspective. I had never thought of it that way. And it's like, I think, at least we did, we fostered thinking, okay, they're just going to come fit in our family and go along with what we do. And that's why it's hard, because they're not quite meshing how they're supposed to. But if you're looking at it that perspective of, this is the mission field and we've got to work to serve this kiddo and adapt our routine and home. So that's a really good perspective to
have. I would say the first is the way we went into it too. And so it just... a complete mind shift.
Yeah. I can see that. And so, talking about the child that you have, the attachment, like, does he have, you don't have to say reactive attachment disorder. So that, I mean, that's common, not an uncommon thing, I guess, is what I would say with foster. What, I mean, that's supposed to be a really, really hard thing. What would you advise moms or foster parents that do have children with that, just to get, help them get through that?
Right. So I would say two things. On the front end, like I said, I have three that don't. So going in as you're looking at adoption, kind of always being aware of where God is calling you and what He's calling you to. So we would do it again. So I think that that's a little bit encouraging, hopefully.
Yeah, but that's also a good. No, you would do it again.
We would do it again. Yeah. We would do it again.
Okay.
But for the families, we've walked with other families with kiddos who struggle to attach, and it just is tricky, and it's not everyone. I would say that it is such a, just like every one of your birth kiddos is different. Each kiddo coming in from trauma is different. They process it differently. All four of our kids are, our four of our adopted kiddos are so funny in that their stories are different and their personalities are different. They deal with it differently. Every single one of them just are so very, very different. So going in, I would say don't be super scared, but ask a lot of questions. On the other side, for the families who are already living in it, I think the biggest thing for us was being surrounded by other people who were in our same boat, because it is different. I can relate very well to the foster or adoptive mama who just has this kid who has regular trauma, for whatever that means, and is doing that regular foster or adoptive process of learning to bring a kid into your home and love them, that stuff. I can relate because I have three of those. But I can also relate to that family that has the extra heart. And for that, I need other families who know where I'm at. So I would say reach out to families who are walking through what you're walking through specifically, because it is different.
And how do you find families? I mean, I know we're in the Owosso area and there are, is it usually churches or how do...
Churches, a lot of churches. Our church has an adopted ministry. And so normally that phone call would come to me and I would, you know, talk to and love on that family, but then also move them over to and offer some care groups that are walking that same road with them, and different families that have walked that road.
Right. And now that's becoming more common. I mean, you would say that when you first got into it, you were kind of not the norm that everybody does this. So now I think it's becoming more prevalent to find those support groups.
Definitely. Now's the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like right now, because there are so many families that are stepping into this, that you get to have families to walk with in this. You don't feel so alone anymore. That was exciting for us. When more families started coming along and doing it with us, you just feel, because it's different.
Yeah.
It
you cannot
just
relate
is
unless
different.
You're in it.
Yeah.
So how did your role, because now your job is even related to this. So how did that come about, that you ended up getting a job that right. is all about this too.
Yeah. So early on, they did this class called Adopted that explores all areas of orphan care. So okay. one night would be international adoption, one night okay. would be domestic
adoption. Your church
adoption.
Did this?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And they asked Shane and I to come speak on foster care.
Okay.
Early on, when the baby was still a baby and our little guy was still five, and okay. I thought, oh, I do not think you want me talking on this.
You want me to give you the
I remember thinking, I'm pretty sure I'm not the one that should be up here. I was on my face crying earlier today, so, you yeah. know. But we went and did it, and there were two families in that class who ended up becoming super close friends of ours who are now adoptive families who walked this road.
Oh, cool.
And I think that was the first thing. You know, we got to speak at that class.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of morphed. We ended up doing some different TBRI groups
okay.
and just more intensive trainings with families mm-hmm. who were walking through okay. this. And we got to learn more families, meet more families. And so then I got more involved. Okay. And I was on staff already. And so it ended up just being like just the perfect fit.
Isn't that cool? I mean,
yes.
it really is. Like God knew that. And that was how your story was going to get you there.
Yeah.
And now that's what you do.
And that's it's just super exciting. It's,
yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's so exciting to watch families that we've had dinner with. Just so many. I wish I could even tell you how many
mm-hmm.
that we had dinner with when we got the phone call. Hey, we're just starting thinking that this may be for us. Would you guys go to dinner with us? Who fostered? And for three of them in particular, their first foster care placement was very, very hard. I would give that little bit of encouragement. Those first three, their foster care placement all went back home or to a family member or somewhere
okay.
else.
Okay.
But all three of those called and were like, that was really hard. And I was like, I know. And so what's funny is all three took a break. And I said, here's the deal. Don't let one, you know, knock you out forever.
That's a very good, and you know what? It's so, like you're just saying, it's so good to have others speak that truth into you
mm-hmm.
because when you're in it, you don't see that truth.
And you feel
and
so
the
much.
Guilt is, I mean, yeah.
Just, so much weight.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. having you, so that is kind of your role, is that you are speaking to these families
yes.
and like kind of mentoring them through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when they come to you and they are saying like, I think I do want to foster. What are some things that you say or how honest are you? Or what would you tell people that are thinking like, I think we want to foster
right.
or adopt and we've never fostered?
Yeah. Normally I start pretty broad of like, this is what you need to know. This is the process. This
mm-hmm.
is what this looks like. You know, the classes and the background checks
okay.
and the fingerprints.
Just
the
real things. The
right.
Fact checks. Yes.
Right. The facts. The things that people don't know. Because
yeah.
really there are so many questions. So there's a piece that's just regular, you know, Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. And then there's kind of the nitty gritty of the questions that we usually get when we open up the floor. How did this affect your bio children? Always.
That's a huge
were
one.
You scared of their birth parents? We get that a lot. You know, just
how do you feel with your bio kids if this has affected them?
I would say for us, now obviously you see my girls went from two kiddos in a house
mm-hmm.
to six. So yes, there are times I think for any mom that you go, do I get to spend enough time with them?
Yeah.
Am I showing them enough one-on-one attention? With six, it's almost, you know, it's super
hard. Do you even
hard.
Get that? I mean,
right.
goodness. Yeah.
So there are moments where I kind of let that creep in. But for the most part, our kids are all super tight. Like, we really speak a lot of, you guys are lucky in that one day we won't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are six of you and you are here to take care of each other. Like
yeah.
your bond needs to be, you have each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't, you know, siblings will have their own stuff in the house. We don't talk about people outside of our house. You're not
yeah.
going to say my sister did or my brother
right,
said,
right.
Really we try to build a lot of unity. And for the most part, the boys, are fantastic. And the girls are fantastic. Everybody kind of has their buddy,
yeah.
which is funny.
Yeah.
They all kind of like paired up with their person,
yeah.
Just based on personality, who fits where.
But, so you don't see any segregation between bio kids and adopted. I mean, it is like you guys are a family unit.
Yes.
How did you get to that point? Because that seems, was that an easy thing for you guys to be like, look at them all like they're all my children?
I think it just happens over time. Okay. So no, I would say it was a progression.
Okay.
Because at first, I mean, it just is. It's, you know, it's, you're learning this kid, they're learning you, you're learning everybody's personalities. And so you don't immediately
to them and have them from the first minute of
you
their
don't
life.
Immediately feel like, for the most part. Now I will say with our little one,
you did.
Oh my stars. Aww. Like I felt like I could have had this baby. But for the others, it was, they had already built in big personalities. Mm-hmm. And so learning them and who they were. So you have to grow that. Like that had to be an attachment for all of us that was grown over time. But again, we're looking at, we're almost 8 years into this now. Mm-hmm. And so,
and now you can see it like, oh, okay, we're a family. I would never say like,
almost blends. Like you almost forget, you know, like I said, our oldest boy and oldest girl are biological siblings.
Yeah.
So they do have kind of a special bond.
They'd have to, they have 9 years of shared experiences.
Right. But I think the longer we're all together, it's just all meshing and interweaving, and the experiences with each other are, you know, we've had so many family vacations now and inside jokes and all these things.
Right.
That
the
we
longer
really,
you're together, you feel like a family.
Definitely.
Yeah, I can see that.
Definitely that. Our youngest biological daughter is extremely spunky.
Okay.
So I would say out of everyone, but I like to think, I'm pretty sure she would have been this way had we not ever adopted anyone. Her personality is just big. And so she is the only one we've had to watch her fight for her place a little bit.
Okay.
She wanted to make sure everyone knew that just because they were older and just because they were bigger, she's still big and in charge.
Right.
And you know,
that's right. God gave her that personality she needed.
She has it. Yes.
Did therapy play a role? Did you guys do like family therapy, or is it just, if you don't mind sharing, I know there are things that play into it, the becoming that family.
No, that's actually good. So each kiddo, when they came, had a court ordered therapist that they met with the whole time. So we've done a lot of therapy.
Okay.
Two of ours have psychiatrists that they meet with regularly. Yeah. And then the others, we've discontinued therapy, but we did art therapy and play therapy and times where we got the whole family together and talked. But for a chunk of time, a therapist would meet with the kids. Would take one and meet, and then take the other one and meet, and then would spend an hour with me.
Okay.
Because I needed it.
Well, yeah. And that's really good that you admitted that.
Yeah. I mean, so she would stay after an hour, and
I think that's some of the best advice is that admit that you need that and take that time. 'Cause it's all really time consuming.
Yes.
Like I will say, I remember like being suggested to us to have family therapy and we did it and we're like, we don't have time for that. You know, it's like, it's time consuming, but if you want this to go, and not because you're going to put the time in somewhere.
That's right. It's going to be pulled from somewhere, whether it's you being upset or whatever.
Losing your mind.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that time each week, you know, speaking with that therapist, even for me, was very, very helpful.
Okay. Okay.
But now we've kind of fallen back. So we're kind of just running a routine. We do, like I said, psychiatry check-ins every now and then just to make sure everything's going great. Yeah.
So a couple more questions before we wrap up, Jamie. One of the ways I got your name was through the Story Marks event that happened a couple weeks ago in Collinsville.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about what you shared there, your tattoo. And for those of you who don't know, the Story Marks was women sharing their stories through the tattoos that they have, right?
Right.
And how the story that was behind it. So
yes.
Tell me what your tattoo is and your story, like a brief version of it.
Excellent. So in the middle of us kind of walking this adoption journey with our middle son and just, you know, kind of fighting to love him and have him love us back.
And this was the five-year-old.
Yeah. Okay. And so at this point he was 8.
Okay.
So we were a good 3 years in. And things were still a little bit hard, a lot bit hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard every day. And I felt like I was giving it my all. And we had gotten to the point where I was just tired and crying out to God. And I felt like God was just saying, to just keep standing, like just stand, let me fight for you. Cause I just kept thinking, I can't fight anymore.
Yeah.
I've tried every avenue I know. Mm-hmm. I've tried to tell him that I love him. I've tried to ignore. I've tried this. We've tried therapy. We've tried that. I'm at my wit's end.
Yeah,
and because I'm a planner, I run every scenario in my head. So I'm thinking, if this doesn't get better now, this will happen. If this, then this. And what about if this? And I just felt like God was quieting my heart and all those what ifs and saying, just stand. Let me fight for you. Don't try to figure out tomorrow. Just stand for today. And then I read a blog that said that God can't give you the grace for tomorrow because we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Just take the grace for today. I don't know why that was so like I had never heard it before. Like
it's
I was trying to
was
stockpile all of this grace for all of these days that were coming ahead that I didn't know what they may hold in fear.
And that's when the panic sets in.
Yeah.
When you like take all of that.
Yeah. When really I just needed to get through today and have God be with me today. And so I had stand tattooed on my foot as a reminder. And I even shared then, I mean, we were coming out of a hard time. We had been in a really hard time and there was light shining on us for the first time in 3 years. We were seeing improvements in behavior. We were seeing a little bit of attachment. I was starting to think he was funny and witty. You know what I mean? Like there were starting to be like, I would always pray that God would bind our hearts together. Like that just, he would bind us.
Yeah.
And
we were seeing little glimpses.
God little was, glimpses. Yeah. And so, at the time I was going to do it just, you know, as a reminder to keep pressing on and keep going, but also as a reminder of what we had walked through and the progress we had made. And it has just been exactly that, you know, we're, like I said, approaching teenage years. We have 4 teenagers and 2 preteens.
That is just blows my mind. Still, I have 1 teenager and I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah. Well, I don't recommend all those teenagers at one time, but I will say, you know, it's just a reminder right now, like this is a season.
Yeah. And God will give you grace for these days. Don't
that's
be stressing
right.
about college.
That's
or them
right.
all, like getting a license. I think that's really, really good advice to end on is for all of us as moms, that God will give us that grace that we need for today.
Amen.
Okay. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Her Story Speaks podcast. Be sure to check out the links on the show notes at herstoryspeaks.com. State and local information on foster care and adoption is listed. Jamie also shares her personal contact information if you'd like to reach out to her for more information on foster care or adoption.